Today we're going to talk about I am a new creation. Before I go to the opening scripture, I'm going to go to something that's not on our slides. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We know that when we accept Christ into our heart and lives, that something's changed. Something's new. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many times have we spoken that scripture? How many times have we quoted it? How many times have we said, I'm a new creation? We sing it. We state it. We come about. Yeah, old things are passed away. I'm not that same person anymore. What does it mean he is a new creation? That's prefaced by, if any man be in Christ. The first thing that has to happen is we have to die to self by accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. As we read in Galatians 2:20, that we crucified the flesh. We laid it aside. We picked up what Christ did in our stead, took on that salvation by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9, not because we boast, but because he did it, and he said, now I want to give it to you. But if we are in Christ, we're a new creation. Do you feel new? Do you look new? Do you act new? You're the same squalling little baby you were after you pray as you were before in the flesh. But something's new on the inside. Your body gets older. Your body still has fingers and toes. But your spirit has been made new. The word for creation in this passage is, it's K-T-I-S-I-S, ktis, which is the act of founding, establishing, and building. The act of creating. Creation, creating a thing that's created, anything created. The word creation is just what we believe it to mean. It's something that wasn't there before that is there now. Something new that didn't exist prior to. It's not making alive. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will make alive your mortal body. That's your mortal body. That's your flesh. This is something different. This is something new. Something was created within you. You became a being inside you that you weren't before you asked him into your heart and life. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Barashit. In the beginning, the very first word in Hebrew, in the Torah, Barashit, actually points to the redemption of man by God. But Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first thing that God did in this world, according to the word of God, was he created it. And we know, we go through, and it's he created something out of nothing. John 1, 1 through 4. And that only looks like I've got one verse. Hold on just a second. John chapter 1. verses 1 through 4. Thank you, Lord. Yep, I do. I just want to double check to make sure I had it all there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created. John 1, in the beginning God created. All things that were made. So even you, being a new creation, are created by Christ. John started off his gospel with creation, because that's where we start off our life. In him is with creation. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will, nor of the will of man, but of God." This new creation is a new birth. In John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." This new birth is that creation. Think of how birth happens. Inside the woman, two things come together to make something that wasn't there before. All of a sudden, there's life. That life grows into and is birthed a child, which becomes you and I. When God's spirit, God's seed, as it's called in, I think it's Peter, goes into your heart, you are birthed as a new creation. The same way that the physical child is born, your spirit becomes alive in that same manner. And you are created a new creation at that point, something that did not exist before. If you go all the way back to Genesis, you know that God says they created man in his own image. Male and female created him. And he created them in his image and his likeness. We know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know the word Elohim means plural. It has im on the end, so that's plural. Elohim, God's plural. And we know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the three parts of the Godhead. We have a body. Inside that body, we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our intellect, our emotions. That's our soul. And we have a spirit. If you have accepted Christ into your life, it's an alive spirit. If you have not, it's still a dead spirit. Because when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, "In the day you eat of it, you shall die." And when he did, the glory that was around him was gone, and he realized he was naked. His spirit died that day. So did Eve's. They lived about 900 years, but physically, but they didn't have fellowship with God, and they couldn't have fellowship with God anymore because their spirits could not commune with God because their spirit was dead. There was sin. Mankind was born with that dead spirit. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he gave us the rights, according to the scripture, he gave us the right to become the children of God. The work on the cross allowed mankind to come back into the fold of fellowship with God the Father. How? To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God himself did what we couldn't do. He made our spirits alive. He created in us an alive spirit. So you are now spirit, soul, and body, three in one. Amen? You're back in the likeness and image of God. the way Adam was created. Galatians 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." What Paul is saying here is that to be a Jew is to be under the blessings of God. That's the people of the circumcision. Once people got saved, those of the circumcision would come and say, "You know what?" Or some of them did, "You know what? For you to get the blessings of God, you have to now do this. You have to go through all the Jewish traditions and become circumcised and start keeping the law like we did. Yeah, you've got Jesus now, but now you need God." And Paul came against that. And he said, "For in Christ Jesus, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't do any good. That doesn't matter. Only the new creation. If you don't have Christ, you haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior and let him wash away your sins and make you that new creature, that new being, a live spirit, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not Jewish. Only in Christ does it all matter. We know that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that it's by grace you're saved through faith, not by works that any man should boast. Hey, I'm one of God's special people because I do this, I did that. Or I'm Jewish and I've gone through all of the things and circumcised the 8th day. And, you know, Paul talks about all the stuff that he did to be a Jew. And it avails nothing except for the new creation. We were born into the kingdom of God as children of God. Born into by God's seed. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." When you accept Christ, you put on that new man. You become a new creation, a new being, a new person. You put it on by saying yes to Jesus. And we know that our righteousness is as filthy rags, right? So it says, in true righteousness. Well, where was the true righteousness? Christ performed the whole works of the law. But we're supposed to renew in the spirit of our mind. How do we renew the spirit of our mind? Washing of the water of the word. Amen. What about righteousness? We talked about it here just a second ago. Isaiah 64, 6 says, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags." Right? It says, "But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. We will fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We had a lot of wind last night. A lot of trees down, a lot of power lines down, a lot of leaves went places that they hadn't been before. I was listening to trucks being blown over on the highway or blown around. Wind will move things where they were, even though they look like they're fully attached, and move them totally someplace else. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We can't get there on our own. We don't have the righteousness to be able to stand before a holy God. Romans 3, 21 through 24 says, and many people like the 23rd verse out of this, and we'll use it, but let's read 21 through 24. "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You receive the righteousness of God by putting your faith in Jesus and what he did. Everyone sinned. We were born in sin and we continue to sin. We are to walk out of that when we get saved. We're to walk away from sin. We're to flee youthful lusts. We're not to continue in the old way because we have put on the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, does that mean you become righteous? No, that's God's gift to you. But he says for you to be holy because I'm holy. Walk in holiness. Walk towards him by letting that grow, that maturity happen so that you stop being like the old man. You put on the new man. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We've already heard that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that we're to become the righteousness of God in him. How do we do that? Becoming a new creation in Christ. Asking Jesus to come into us, forgiving us of our sins. Our spirit becomes new. And guess what? We now take on this verse. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. He became sin. He didn't just have the sin put on him. He went onto the cross and your and my sin held him there. When he died, he took the sin out into eternity where no man lives. Do you remember the Yom Kippur? There were two goats or two sheep. On one, the hands were placed and all the sins of Israel were spoken over that lamb. Impartation happened. And as far as the Jewish mindset, at that moment, according to what God told them to do, the animal took on all of that sin. It became that sin. Then it was led out into the wilderness where no man could inhabit. There were some other things that happened that I won't go on here, but the main thing I want you to catch here is that that lamb took all of the sins out of the camp where no man could live, and it died out there. It never was allowed to come back into camp. The other one was sacrificed, and its blood spread on the altar, and that became the sin offering. One was taking the sin away, and the other was atoning for it, making blood for the sin, so that the sin was gone. We know that Jesus died on the cross, and his blood is there for remission of sin, taking the sin away. But he was also the scapegoat because he took our sin outside of mankind's ability to live. Can you go out into eternity and come back on your own? Could you go out there and get the sin that you had before and bring it back? It's not possible. That's what he did. That's farther than the east is from the west. You can't go get it. He took it out there. So guess what? He doesn't hold it against you. The only thing that is held against you is whether or not you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you a new creation? Have you allowed him to make you new? Have you asked him into your heart and said yes to Jesus? I want your salvation. I want you to forgive me of my sins. And God does the work from then, and he makes us the righteousness of God in him. Be that new creation. Celebrate what he's done for you, not so that you can jump and shout and dance about, but because he did it all. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 8 through 18 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We know Jesus was the first fruit. He raised on first fruits. He was the first fruit of many brethren. But we are the rest of that basket. We are the ones that raised because of him raising. We're the ones that have been changed because of him. We are the first fruits of his creation. Amen? Amen. 1 Thessalonians verse 5 through 25 and 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Right there you're told that you have a soul, a spirit, and a body if you know Jesus. But it says your whole spirit. And it also means your whole body and your whole soul. God doesn't want us to have any brokenness. He doesn't want any cracks and crazes in us. The word shalom in Hebrew that is translated peace and means peace also means total unbrokenness, nothing lacking, nothing broken. It's not like you could take a glass ball and, oops, I dropped it onto the counter. Oop, it's got a little crack in it. Well, if I turn it this way, the way the light hits it, you won't see it. It still has a crack in it. God takes that same kind of sphere of perfectness in our lives, and there are no imperfections, no pits, no crazes, no cracks, nothing broken, nothing lacking, nothing missing, no imperfections, because Christ did a perfect work, and he does that perfect work in you. So we are a three-part being since we accepted Christ. When you said yes to Jesus, yes to his offer of eternal life, your spirit is what was reborn. Amen? 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." That same seed that it talks about here, we understand is how God came into us and made our spirit alive. The seed of God is what it says. That's the same word that's used elsewhere in Scripture when it's talking about a child being conceived. God uses the same principle in the spirit world in this fashion and describes it that way as in the natural world when a child or an animal or anything that is conceived from parents to being a child. God did the work. We can't boast, because I can't boast any more than you can that our parents had us. That was something they did. I'm the product of my parents. We are the product of what God set in motion spiritually for you to be born again. God did it. You are the outcome of what he started, what he did. Colossians 1, 21 and 23 says, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless." Remember we talked earlier in Sunday school about him being our high priest. Imagine Jesus as the high priest seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he looks up at the Father and he says, Father, I want to present this, my loved one, to you. This one's holy and blameless because it's covered in my blood, washed in my blood, white robes, crown on their head. I want you to meet this one. This is one of my little lambs. Well, it says right here that he presents you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Amen. He doesn't see you with your cracks and crazes and all the different imperfections and gray hairs and freckles and what have you. He sees you holy and blameless and without any imperfections, and he presents you to the Father that way. Now, some of you ladies bake pies and cakes, and you'll bring something, and you say, set it up there on the table this way. Okay, we'll do that. Why? Because the icing here on the back or the crust over here doesn't look so good, but it looks great from this angle. We'll present the best side. Or cut it and serve it without bringing it to the table because on the plate it didn't look so good, but on each every individual plate you couldn't tell that. We'll present things in their best light. Jesus said, there is no bad side. I don't have any negatives about you. I don't see anything in you that's an imperfection. Holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Amen? He doesn't say, they've got a wart on their big toe. No, he heals the wart. Anything that he finds in there, why do you think he had the stripes put on his back? So that you could be whole. The goal of the gospel is to see each of us come into the kingdom of God, birth, number one. Grow in holiness, adolescence, when you're learning your lessons and learning how to grow into becoming an adult. You're not there yet, but you're learning, you're being taught. Mature in Christ, adulthood, so that we can be presented to himself spotless and blameless. Faith in what God has already done is our part in what God has done. Our part is standing in faith. Having done all to stand therefore. Our part is standing in faith. We're told to fight the good fight of faith, and that's it. We walk in faith, but God did the work. He created something new in us, an alive spirit. Are you growing in grace? Are you recognizing yourself as that new creation? Do you realize the miracle you are as a new creation? God delights in your growth. Amen? Amen. Father God, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your word that you brought forth, and you have made us new creations in Christ. Lord, I pray that we celebrate what you made us to be, how you made us new. We're not old, dead, dry spirit anymore, but we're alive and we're made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, I pray for everyone here and those listening to this online that you minister to them. And if there's anyone under the sound of this voice that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'd like to have them pray this prayer with me. If they believe in their heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead, and they want their sins forgiven, all they have to do is say yes to Jesus. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me from all of my unrighteousness. I accept your free gift of salvation, And I ask you to become my Lord and my Savior. Make me a new creature in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.